Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Our church, New Mercy's Christian Church in Lilburn, Georgia, is about to enter into a 21-day period of consecration. And this consecration period will consist of daily corporate prayer, as well as doing the Daniel Fast. And I know you want me to jump right into, straight into the Daniel Fast. And I will talk about that a little bit. But before I get to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the purpose of fasting in general. And the Apostle Paul describes a great reason and a great reason why we need to fast and pray. In particular, in Romans chapter 7, verses 19 through 20, the Apostle Paul describes it this way, and this is the New King James Version. And it says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will to that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And wow, is that not the case, that there is a perpetual battle going on between the flesh and the spirit? And our mind is the mediator of this battle. And the mind is that part of our body that makes that decision about which to obey, whether to obey the flesh or whether to obey the spirit. And so the mind, again, is a vital part in terms of which voice will we obey, the voice of our flesh or the voice of the spirit. And so as human beings, we are made up of three parts. We are made up of mind. And in this case, when I talk about mind, I'm not just talking about the brain in terms of the thinking function, but I'm talking about the soul, and soul, which includes the will, our thoughts, our emotions. That is all considered the part of the mind or the soul. So we're made up of the soul, the body, and the spirit. But without Christ, we are spiritually dead. And so we tend to be pushed around by our fleshly desires, right? This flesh man, our natural bodies, this flesh man is all about our relationship with ourselves. It's all about self. And it's all about our natural and our physical cravings. It's which can become very selfish. By definition, it's selfish. And even at times can be destructive when it's left unchecked. But it's our mind that can overrule our body. And that mind that God has given us the capacity to create these meaningful relationships with others and the world, while our spirit, with a small s, communes directly with God. And so as we fast, we deliberately and purposely weaken the power and the bond of our flesh, and we strengthen our relationship with God through our spirit, the lower S, to God's spirit with a capital S. And as we do this, there is an exchange that takes place. And that exchange is we get less of us and more of him. And when we have less of us and more of him, this will always benefit us. And what do I mean by this? This is a time when we purposely choose to consecrate ourselves, right? And so when I say purposely, we shouldn't do it out of compulsion. We shouldn't do it because we feel forced. We shouldn't do it because we feel embarrassed. We should do it because we willingly choose to consecrate ourselves. And so I like to talk about fasting or think about fasting in this terms. Fasting is like turning the volume knob down on our flesh and turning the volume knob up on our spirit, right? And so in that, we gain authority, we gain clarity of purpose, we gain clarity of vision, we gain clarity of what God is speaking. But more than that, and the reason we're able to do all of that is because it draws us closer to God. Here's the key, though. This fasting that we're about to engage in must, and I cannot emphasize that enough, this fasting that we're about to engage in must be accompanied by prayer. Prayer is talking with and listening to God. And there are many examples in scripture, many, 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 way too many to recount. But I will give a couple here where fasting is accompanied by prayer. And as a matter of fact, the most pungent and the most powerful example I think of is when the disciples couldn't heal the people. And Jesus told them this power only comes through prayer and fasting. So to combine those. But again, Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 20, since we're talking about the Daniel fast, he goes and talks about fasting and prayer and combining the two. Joel 2 and 12, Luke 2, 37, Acts 9 and 9, Acts 10 and 30, just to name a few. And I know I ran through them, but again, just to name a few, but there are tons of examples. Again, the whole purpose of fasting and prayer is for us to take part in the consecration process by our own free will. That is, we are willingly given the Holy Spirit more liberty to move and to reign and to do what He desires to do in our lives, right? And that is the purpose of fasting. First and foremost is, again, just to say, Holy Spirit, I'm giving you liberty. I'm making the room for you to do what you desire to do in and through me. And so let me tell you what fasting is not, or the purpose of fasting is not. The purpose of fasting is not to lose weight, although that may be a byproduct of the fasting. That should not be the primary goal. Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to fast and I'll no lose some pounds. No, that should not be the purpose of fasting. That's a byproduct or a benefit of fasting, but that's not the purpose in terms of what we're doing now in this season of consecration. It's also not to show people how holy we are. Yeah, man, I'm in this fast. I'm broadcasting it to everybody to whom we speak, right? And again, it's not for us to proudly display it as a badge of honor or a pious badge or a pious a misery look on our face. Pious meaning religious, you know, trying to look holy. That's not what it's for, right? And so we are to do this fast with humility and with a smile. And how do I know? Because Jesus says this to his disciples, and he says this to the people when he's talking to them about fasting. He, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, it reads, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you fast," and again, pause here for a moment, not if, not I might, but when, which means it presupposes that the life of a believer involves fasting. "When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly." And that is so key. Here's the deal, family. When we fast, we are fasting only to be seen by God, period, full stop. When we fast, we're fasting only to be seen by God, not by men, not by people, not by employees, employers, not by relatives or neighbors or coworkers. Fasting is only to be seen by God, and that's why we're doing it, period. And again, remember that the whole purpose of fasting is to move, as the analogy would be, move all of the furniture to the edges of the room, the furniture in our minds and our souls, the furniture in our hearts and in our spirit, the lowercase s. We move that to the edge of the room so that we make complete and full room for the Holy Spirit, uppercase s, to give him room to dance and move about freely in and upon our lives. And when I say move the furniture in our minds, what do I mean when I say furniture? In this case, furniture is symbolic of the clutter, the noise, the distractions, the daily grind, the daily responsibilities, the daily routines, the things that we just do on impulse. We do subconsciously without even thinking about getting into the car, getting ready for work, going about our daily activities, going to wherever we need to do, doing what we need to do. What we say now is we pause and we are intentional about making sure that we're making time and making room and making space for God to do what he desires to do in and through us during this time. And let me just say something else, one additional thing about fasting. And you ready? Fasting in and of itself is of no spiritual value. That's right, I said it. Fasting in and of itself is of no spiritual value. And there's scripture to back it up, Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 14 and 12, 1 Corinthians 8 and 8. And it reads, John 3:6 says, "That which is of the flesh is flesh. In other words, what John is saying here is, if you're doing it simply just for the sake of saying you're fasting and there's no intentionality about making space or making room for God, then it's merely just abstaining from food so that you can say that you're fasting, right? So again, fasting in and of itself is of no spiritual value. When it becomes a spiritual value is when we shift our attitude and our heart to sincerely seek God. When we do that and we say, God, I'm seeking you, God, I'm open to you, God, I'm asking and I'm inviting you and entreating you, and I'm imploring you to come into my life, to come into my heart. I'm making room so that you can do what you desire to do in and through me during this time. Then God responds with a blessing. And it's not because we're manipulating or we're saying we're doing this, so God, you must. No, we're doing it saying, God, I'm yielded and I'm open. And we become more sensitive and attuned to what God is saying and to what God is doing in our lives. And so why do I say this? For those of you with medical issues, and I want you to hear me and hear me clearly, to those of you with medical issues, consult with your physician before you take on any kind of fast or before you do any kind of change in your dietary routine. You see, because if you have a medical condition that won't allow you to fast food, remember, fasting first and foremost is a matter of the heart. Fasting is a heart issue. It's not about food per se, but we fast food because it is something that the body craves. It is something that the body needs. It is vital for life. But God says, but do you need me more than life? But again, remember that fasting first and foremost is a heart issue. So again, if there are fleshly pleasures that you have other than food, again, for those of you with medical conditions, diabetes, or things that you're taking medications that you have to take with food, by all means, follow the protocols of your physician. What I'm saying, though, is that there are other areas, other things in your lives other than food that you can abstain from. Radio, TV, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, internet, cookies, cakes, snacks, whatever the case may be. You get the point. The point is that there are other things that you can abstain from other than food that shows the Lord, yes, I'm giving up this carnal pleasure. I'm giving up this physical pleasure in order for me to be able to really hear from you. And so, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast, we're starting this Daniel fast along with our daily corporate prayer. And this Daniel fast is a way to help us to make space again for the Holy Spirit to do his secret work, God, in our lives. And the Daniel fast is a partial fast in which meat and wine and other rich foods are avoided in favor of vegetables and fruit and water for 3 weeks in order to be more sensitive to God. And as the name describes, the Daniel fast is, of course, based on the character or the man Daniel in the Bible, the book of Daniel in the Bible, where Daniel went into mourning for 3 weeks, and he did a 3-week fast where he abstained from all meat and wine. And the reason here it is that Daniel did this fast because he had been in captivity in exile for 3 years, and the Lord 2 years, and the Lord had already told him, you're going to be here for 70 years. You're going into captivity for 7 years. And so Daniel had been in this captivity for 2 years. And then this is when he proclaimed this fast in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, where he says, I ate no pleasant foods, no meat or no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. The Daniel fast limits our choices to whole grains, fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and seeds. The Daniel fast, right, is one of these things where there are no animal byproducts, no animal products or no animal byproducts, no cheese, no dairy, no nothing like that. And it also excludes processed foods, food additives, preservatives, flavorings, sweeteners, caffeine, alcohol, oils, and products made with white flour. Yep, that means you got to give up the breads, the pastas, and the pastries. All of that. Again, it's a matter, again, of just eating what is naturally grown, what is naturally available, but primarily fruits and vegetables and water. And so, again, I want to reiterate that the fast is not as much about what we're giving up as much as it is about why we're giving it up. Daniel went into this, as I mentioned, this 3-week fast, being in captivity in Babylon for 2 years, and fasting and praying was extremely beneficial. Fasting and praying will be extremely beneficial if we're feeling spiritually out of whack or something just isn't quite right. Fasting and praying is extremely beneficial if we want to seek better connection with God, if we're seeking God's mind on a matter, or if we're in trouble and need a breakthrough. Often the fear of fasting is worse than the actual fasting itself. So don't let the enemy stop you or by making you afraid, or don't let the enemy stop you by saying you can't do it. It's a matter of the heart. And if you mess up, come right back and continue on. Above all else, ask God to search your heart. Ask Him in Jesus' name to prepare you for this consecration journey on which you and me and we are about to embark. Know that God is gracious and He will help you to grow in the journey, and that you can say with your whole heart, less of me and more of you. Family, I'm excited about what God is doing in our lives, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies and the victories over what the Lord has done as we go through this journey together over these next 21 days. Remember, family, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.